Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel. Okay, yes, it's going. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do the intro.
Okay, do it, do it.
Welcome back to Benign Chaos, and we did a quick topic change today to health because it's come up a lot in my life right now. And Shelry wanted to also add the spiritual journey to that because I do think that all goes in with health.
Me too.
And the importance of health. Yes. So it's come up because I have migraines, and Shelry was just asking me, what are the migraines from? And I told her I'm allergic to modern life. And it's true. What it is I'm very allergic to chemicals. And I get an instant headache from perfume, which are chemicals.
Right.
And to me, perfume smells like chemicals. It doesn't smell.
Yeah, I don't like perfume at all. I don't like to, I don't wear it. I don't have it around me. I don't like it.
Yeah, it smells like sickly sweet chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But perfume, cigarette smoke, aspartame, those are instant headaches for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you can also, anybody who gets migraines will tell you this, you can have a buildup of, those ones are major triggers. And then you can have several minor triggers that will build up over time, and then you get a headache.
Okay.
You pass some kind of point where you start getting your headache. And there's chemicals in everything. There's chemicals in your pillows because they dip them in stuff so that they don't catch on flat fire. I learned that from the story of stuff.
Wow.
There's chemicals in your shampoo. There's chemicals in your, shampoo and conditioner. There's chemicals in any kind of processed food. There's chemicals in your rug. There's chemicals in your car. There's chemicals in the paint on the walls.
Now you're talking about like just mainly man-made chemicals, right?
Yes. And okay. we're surrounded by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sensitive people can feel them and get sick from them quicker than other people, but I think it makes everybody sick.
Okay.
So that's my theory anyway. I'm going to the doctor today, and I'm gonna, because he said, right now I'm on Maxalt and Vicodin.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So this is a podcast on Vicodin. So I'm going to go to the doctor today to talk about the migraines that have gotten out of control. And but I don't know what you do about that. I mean, we're just surrounded by chemicals.
My aunt's husband, I guess he's in some industrial accident, and he's super sensitive to chemicals now. And they moved from Texas up to like Missouri, and they live out in the middle of nowhere. And he doesn't fly because it's a very enclosed environment. So if somebody's wearing perfume or he can't be in a plane, and they drive everywhere. He can't go in certain buildings. And so, I mean, that's an extreme case, but
see, I don't think that's an extreme case. I think that everybody, cause I have the same problem. So does my mother. In mm-hmm. fact, I walked in to get my contacts from the optometrist yesterday. I walked into their office, and immediately I could smell the chemicals they use to clean, and then they probably do it to freshen, they call it freshen, but to make the air smell nicer. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could not work here.
Yeah.
I think it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I don't know what you do about that, which brings me to the quote I wanted to bring up, because I was thinking about this a lot last night, because my pain got worse and worse and worse till I got up at, like 4:30 in the morning and went and took another Maxalt and two more Vicodin. And I was thinking, what can I do? I can't rip up my rugs. I can't, you know what I mean? You can't change it because you just don't have that kind of money.
Right.
And, but that's a very defeatist attitude, which isn't helpful. And then one of my favorite people is the editor-in-chief of Experience Life magazine, and I can't say her name. It's Pilar Gerizimo. I can't say her last name. Anyway, she wrote this in one time in Experience Life. She said, years ago, I was given a great piece of advice. In times of high anxiety and frustration, before desperate desperately grasping for solutions not yet within your reach. Focus on fully applying the solutions you already have at your disposal. This often means doing the most mundane sort of inventory. Are you eating well, drinking enough water, getting daily exercise and sunshine? Are you spending time relaxing and enjoying time with your loved ones? Are you challenging your negative thoughts and beliefs and taking small daily positive actions? And that's what I was thinking about. No, I can't rip up my carpets and replace it with something natural, but I can eat better and I can go to the gym regularly.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think you would be less sensitive if you were in the kind of health that you've been talking about wanting to be in?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you because I haven't been healthy for so long.
It's just a thought. I don't have any answers. I don't know. I mean, I'm not as healthy as I'd like to be. So I don't have chemical sensitivities like that, but I do have allergies. So I know a lot of things bother me. They make me sneeze. I get congested. And, tired from allergies.
Yeah, that's nothing. Is any kind of chronic pain or chronic illness. For me, it's the chronic pain of the migraine. It makes you tired. You just get you get exhausted.
Yeah.
But do you find, because you have been very healthy when you were doing the, I know that you did a 10K or a 10-mile run?
A 15K.
Okay, and you are also doing the aerials, which is...
Yeah.
That which require a lot of physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find that when you're like, when you were at I know that you've let some of your fitness, slide a little. Yeah. Because of, yeah. Because of school, but yeah. When you were a little more physically active, did you find your allergies were a little more under control?
Well, I was also on allergy shots and I'm doing those again. I think for me, they seem to help some, you know, they don't get rid of everything, but they seem to mitigate the symptoms, which is good. I still needed a nap, which sometimes I would take at work.
I was wondering about that. I was wondering about people with migraines. How do they? Because I'm a housewife, so I can just, and I have a really sweet husband, so I can blow off the housework and just lay down and be miserable. Now he comes home to a really awful house, and but still, you know, what do people do who have to work?
Well, I know I didn't get headaches. I would just get really tired in midday. So my office, I was facing the wall and I was on the computer, so I'd like lean back in the chair and I'd have my work up, so it looked like I was doing something. And I would sleep like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and that's all I need, and then I was ready to go again, you know?
Right, yeah.
But they couldn't see my face, so they didn't know my eyes were closed. My hand was on the mouse.
See, I think everybody's done that. I'll be honest with you.
Sometimes you have to, because I couldn't do any work. I couldn't focus.
Yeah.
So we had 9-hour days.
Wow.
So we had every other Friday off.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would sneak in a nap. But I'd be much more productive afterwards.
Right, yeah. I've always thought it'd be cool if they had, I thought about this when I was working at the IRS, because I always got sleepy around lunch. And I even tried that thing where you get up and I would walk around the building and try to wake up, and it wouldn't quite work. I always thought, because we still got a 30-minute lunch, they should have a room
where you could sleep.
Exactly. You could just
like
go
in
sleep.
Preschool, where they have nap time.
Yes.
And you know, there's little cots and stuff. Yeah, I thought that too.
Because you do, you're much more productive. If you
and
just...
then there should, when you wake up, there should be cookies and milk, and they tell you a story.
But it'd have to be an inspirational, motivational story about, you know, the little kid that went out and you know, he got all his work done and he was able to help all these people.
Or a cautionary tale about what happened to the little boy who didn't. Yeah, I'm for the whole nap time at work. I think they should have that, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm always much better.
I would rather I would have eaten my lunch in 5 minutes and taken a 25-minute nap if it had been an option.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, well.
Yeah.
If I made the workplace.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about was besides that, okay, for me, the chemicals, like I said, I don't have the money to change our carpet and put down wood floors. But, doing the things that you can do to get healthier, and also the importance of good food and exercise. Because I found that when I, we've talked before about exercise helping with moderate depression, which is phenomenal for. And I also found out, because we have eaten a lot of fast food, I have discovered, and this is probably not a secret, but it's kind of, it drives it home more when you experience it yourself. Fast food makes you depressed.
Does it?
It does.
I mean, the only fast food I ever eat, sometimes I'll, if I'm really starving, I'll go to Burger King and get a Whopper with no meat, Whopper with cheese and no meat. But that's not too bad, I don't think.
Well, also,
I
I
don't
don't.
do it a lot.
Yeah, I think if you eat mostly well, and then you have the occasional fast food, you won't get depressed. But we were eating fast food all the time.
So what do you think it is that makes that
I
you
have.
depressed?
I don't know. I don't know. They use the cheapest ingredients. It's full of preservatives, I'm sure, because it has to travel over miles. It's just garbage. You're putting garbage in your system, and your system gets depressed. And I guess when your body's depressed, your mind's depressed.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I guess Subway's probably the best fast food out there.
Yeah, there's some that you can do that are okay. I think Subway's all right, and you can find, like, if you go to Quiznos, they have salads. Although, there are some places that are okay, but at McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box.
Yeah. Well, they had that movie, Supersize Me,
Yeah.
which I'd refused to watch because I knew I'd just get disgusted. Knowing what's gonna happen to you, you're like, don't do that. You know what's gonna happen.
His girlfriend was getting really upset. She was worried about his health and what he was doing to himself.
Oh, I could just see it coming. So I was like, no, I don't really need to watch that. I already know. I know what's gonna happen.
Well, I knew that you felt bad. These things people do know, that when you eat a bunch of fast food, or I want to say processed food too, if you go to the grocery store and get all the what do they call it, value-added food, where
What's
it's,
that?
oh, it's the food that comes in a box and you just add potatoes or something.
Oh, like, okay. Like shake and bake.
Yeah, and like what are those ones that you get in,
Hamburger helper.
yes, those kind of things. Yes, and also the frozen foods, and they call them value added, but they're full of preservatives. They're full of chemicals. They're full of the cheapest food that they can find so that they can make a profit.
Now, here's something interesting. When I was in really good shape, I was on Weight Watchers. I really like Weight Watchers because it's just a really good structure, you know. But I would eat a lot of their frozen meals. And so I guess that would be in their processed foods.
I guess so. I guess because I've been dealing with migraines for 2 weeks now, I'm all like, oh, processed foods suck. Maybe they're not all bad.
But I don't know, you know. I ate it because I could watch the calorie intake.
Right.
It was very easy to do calorie intake with the Weight Watchers. They already told you what your point system is, you know. And when I was working everything, it was just easier to do that sometimes.
Well, I think that's the problem with I know that Matt and I we are I'll be working all day with the kids in the house, and he'll be working all day at work, and then neither of us wants to cook. And so you end up somewhere awful. And then also you have like Lifetime Fitness, which I really like. They have very good food at their cafe. But I mean, they have what I always get is this chicken salad. It's a chicken salad on top of this bed of I don't want to, it's like green leaf lettuce and a bunch of different greens. And it's so good, and it's so good for you. But unfortunately, for me and the kids and Matt to eat at Lifetime Cafe, it's $40. For us to go eat at McDonald's, it's
It's
eight,
cheap.
yes, it's 18. And so when you're kind of in a where you're trying, like, oh, I just don't want to cook, you end up at McDonald's, which is no good.
Well, you know, another thing I realized when I was back in those days watching everything I ate and stuff is how little food my body really needed. because I was exercising a lot, but I didn't eat that much. You know, I measured everything out every day. I took the food with me to work. And I ate so little back
Really?
then.
And you still had energy and strength.
So I was really amazed at how little food I needed to stay healthy compared to what I had been eating before.
Right. We do have we went to eat at Mexican food restaurant last night with my stepfather. And the portion sizes, I mean, they bring you more than one
Oh
plate of food.
gosh. Yes. Yes. Also, when I go to them, I'll ask for like a side of beans and a side, you know, and they
Right.
bring me this huge plate. I just wanted half a cup. I don't want the 2 cans of beans. So, yeah. Steve and I usually share if we go out. Share an entree because it's so big.
I have a friend who does that too. Her and her husband, she always share an entree.
Yeah. And for me, it's really hard as a vegetarian because most of the places, if they don't have main entrees for me to eat, I hate most of the salads because usually what I get is a head of lettuce with a couple of little tomatoes. And if you don't eat meat so that you have like a chicken salad or something, it's horrible.
Yeah, they are bad.
It's
Yes.
awful.
Yes.
So.
My kids love Denny's because they have the chocolate chip pancakes, and we sit beside the fish tank. And so we go to Denny's. I'm trying to because I had just discovered that, like I said, I knew that fast food made you not feel good, made your body ill, but I didn't realize until just recently it actually makes you depressed. It affects your emotions absolutely if you eat it in quantity. And it doesn't have to be a large quantity either. But anyway, so we go to Denny's and I order a salad. And
Too
they
bad.
oh my God. They bring me this plate of like wilted iceberg lettuce, you know, that I guess you're supposed to smother in
Dressing.
dressing so it's somewhat palatable.
It's awful. When I make salads at home, I never put lettuce in them, ever.
Really? Because I like green leaf lettuce, and I really like romaine lettuce. Those are the two lettuces I like a lot.
Well, Steve likes lettuce in his salad, a lot of lettuce, and I think it's because he's a meat eater. Because most of the salads he gets has meat in it. Tuna or chicken,
Right.
which is huge difference than being a vegetarian. So when I'm at home, I never put lettuce. It was funny because I made a salad. We were eating at home and we made the stuff and I made the salad and he likes mainly lettuce and just a few things in it. And I like everything but lettuce. So he hated the salad. I put all this stuff together and he's like, oh, yuck.
What was it? I mean, is it like carrots and tomatoes and cucumbers and I mean, what is it?
I put in like celery, bell pepper, olives, pickles, peppercini, tomato, cucumber. And my dressing is the peppercini sauce or the juice in the peppercini. And he just didn't like it. But
Yes,
I love that. That's what I want. That's what I like.
see, I like I'm more along Steve's line. I like mainly salad. I mean, mainly lettuce, and then some stuff on it.
But I think it's huge, you know, like I think lettuce probably goes well with meat.
Probably, yes.
So when meat eaters order salad, except for like if you get a salad with your dinner, then they usually order a meat salad.
Right. Yeah, that's why I get at Lifetime Fitness. It's this bed of greens with this chicken salad on top of it.
You have a whole different palate when you're a vegetarian, like what you like, and so.
Well, my question is, if you change to a veg now, you've been a vegetarian for so long, I don't know if you'd know this, but say like I'm 41 and I switch to being vegetarian, which I have tried and have been so unsuccessful at so far. Does you because I'm not fond of green peppers. I'm not fond of, you know what I mean? I wonder if over time you do become fond of those things as your palate changes.
Well, I don't know because I think Your palate changes as you grow older, anyway.
It does.
So I don't know if my if what I was like before. I don't remember. It's been so long. And I would say that I have tried more things than maybe I would have tried otherwise. Be looking for stuff to eat. You know, because our culture is also not geared towards vegetarianism or healthy food.
No, it's not
You
geared
know?
towards either.
Oh, there's this restaurant in Fort Lauderdale called Sublime. And it's like a 5-star vegan restaurant that uses organic stuff.
So that's very cool.
Oh, I can eat everything on the menu. I get there, I'm so excited. I'm like, yes, I can have anything. And so, and they also have a bar, so when they make drinks, they don't, if they have a mixer, it's like juice, not, you know, pre-made mixer. So,
Right.
and they try not to use any sugar, you know, so it's, and all their food is vegan, not just vegetarian. So there's no eggs, there's no dairy.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good and very pretty restaurant too.
The thing that's interesting is, well, there's two things. One, as you said, our society is not geared towards healthy food, and it's not at all.
No.
If you decide that you want to eat healthy, it that cuts out about half the restaurants, I'd say.
See, that's what, as a vegetarian, I've had to live with that kind of thing. And so when people try to get healthy, they come across that. You know, like all of a sudden you're so limited and it's frustrating. And then you have less fun if you go out. Because then you have to like really scrutinize everything and you're hungry and you know, like I want something, but nothing, I can't have anything here. And all the really cool places to eat that I like, the ones with the great atmosphere, you know, that have the sand outside and it's on the river and people are hanging out and they have bands and stuff, have the crappiest food. The crappiest food. It's all bar type food. Or the healthy stuff they have is like tuna, you know, ahi, ahi. Is that, I think that's tuna.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. And it, so they'll have some good seafood. But other than that, everything is fried or, you know, ugh.
Yeah,
So I get so frustrated. I have to eat before I go out.
we went to eat last night at the Mexican restaurant, and I mean, they prepare the food in the kitchen, so I don't, it's not like McDonald's. Okay, you don't go to McDonald's and they ship this food to them.
Yes.
You know, and this food is prepared in a factory, and they do use the cheapest available ingredients, and filled with fillers and. But so you go, we went to the Mexican food restaurant, and you assume that, they're cooking it back there and they bring it to you. But I still got ill from it.
Really?
Yeah, well, we've been eating at home for about, because we were eating out so much. For the past 2 weeks, we've been eating at home all the time. We're not going out to eat because we're trying to be, be more healthy.
Right.
And another thing I found out, and I don't know if you've discovered this as well, because you do eat much more healthy than we do. Is that when you eat very healthy and then you do eat something that is unhealthy, you get sick. You start your stomach hurts. You get crampy stomach, and your body feels ill.
Let's see, what have I eaten that's been unhealthy? I ate it the other day when I knew, I think I told you we went and camped out on the island the other night.
Yes.
Well, Steve's friend is a much later in the day person, so he'll stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and then get up later. So everything sh is his schedule is shifted. And when Steve and I hang out with people, we usually just kind of go with the flow of whatever they're doing. And I knew that we weren't going to be eating for a while, hours, and I was hungry. So I went to Taco Bell and got just the bean burrito. And I really didn't like it at all. I mean, I didn't get sick, but I was like taking part of the beans out and it just wasn't very good. But I knew I had to have something. Or I was going to be cranky and miserable and it wasn't going to be much fun. I get cranky if I'm hungry.
I do
And then it
too.
makes it harder to be gracious,
Yes.
you know? Yeah.
Matt will even ask me if I say I'm really hungry. He say, okay, how much time do I have?
That's awesome.
Meaning, do we need to get something? Do I need to cook, have something prepared in the next 15 minutes, or do I have 45 minutes to make something nicer? How much time do I
Yeah.
have before you start melting down and becoming? He doesn't ever say it, but I do. I become a complete bitch. I do.
I'm horrible. I get grumpy and I get pouty.
Yeah.
And I've been that way, you know, and I don't like being that way. I remember Steve's group of friends used to go out every Thursday night. Or not every Thursday night when I knew him. They kind of once a month or something. And the person organizing this would always pick either. This is when I learned about how cranky I can be. Started to understand is they'd always pick a steakhouse or a seafood place
Oh no.
every single time.
Oh no. And there goes the vegetarian to the
Oh
steakhouse.
my God. Oh, it was awful. And there was nothing. Well, the steakhouse, I could eat sides, you know, green beans. But I had to be careful because sometimes even in them, they'd put meat.
Right.
And the seafood place, you might as well forget it. The only thing I could have is like French fries. Oh, I would be so miserable. Miserable and unhappy. And I'm looking at the menu. And I took all my willpower not to say on our way there, fucking steakhouse again? God damn it.
You unimaginative, inconsiderate people.
I hate all of you. Yeah. But then after a while I learned eat before and you'll have a good time. You won't eat depending on the food that's there.
Right.
So, yes, it was awful.
My mom always says that she feels bad that she didn't teach us how to cook. And I always tell my mom, because I think it's true, that it's our society now that you have to learn in our generation, and I think our children's generation, you have to learn how to live a healthy lifestyle in this society.
Yeah. And cooking, you know, what my mom used to cook us wasn't exactly healthy. Even though she cooked, we got, you know, hamburger helper and green beans. It's not like even if I learned that stuff, that would help me now.
Right. Yeah, I just don't think our society is anyway geared towards a healthy lifestyle. And so you have to, besides learning it on your own, you kind of have to, you really have to stand your ground and constantly fight it
Yeah.
and say, I am going to be healthy. Quit bomb, because you're bombarded constantly with
Yeah.
unhealthy messages.
Yep.
You know, eat this candy, here's the McDonald's, you know, sit on the couch and watch cable, you know.
Yes. I was so surprised when you said you have cable for a month.
Yes. Well,
That's a scary thing.
I was, I'll be honest, I was really worried that we're not going to get rid of it, because we got cable for the World Cup from my English husband. He's got
Yes.
World Cup fever, even though England, although I have to say, just a quick segue or whatever. So we've been watching the World Cup, and first of all, my favorite game so far, and you might even go watch the end of it, was New Zealand versus Italy.
Okay.
Italy won the World Cup 4 years ago, and New Zealand was supposed to get stomped. And in fact, the odds that the bookies were giving was 15-1 for them, for New Zealand winning, 5-1 for a draw. So that's how much New Zealand was the underdog. And New Zealand did get a draw. I think it was 1-1 was the final score.
Wow.
And the New Zealand fans went crazy. It was so awesome. And the New Zealand players were, oh, you should, I really, if you're going to watch any highlights on the internet, watch the end of the New Zealand game, New Zealand Italy game, when New Zealand gets a draw against the number, you know, last time's winner, the cup holders. And anyway, so we got this, and we've been watching all the games, and the US games and the England games, and the English are really upset with their team right now. They drew against America, which they were supposed to defeat us, apparently. They were the favorite team, and they drew against, what was the other one? It was a draw with, oh, I can't remember the other team, but they've had two draws.
Okay.
And now America, we've had two draws too. And the thing that I told Matt was interesting is the English are all upset with their team. Like, you guys are doing
Right.
terrible. What the hell? You suck. Go home, you know? And the Americans are like, yay, you guys are great. You're doing such a good job supporting America. We're so proud of you guys. And it's just interesting to see such a difference because they both have two draws.
Now, do you think that's because America is not a huge soccer country?
Well, Matt did say that, and maybe the Americans considered the draw against England, since they were considered the better team, a win, actually. Kind of like New Zealand, even though they, ended in a draw with Italy, they were so elated. It's so sweet to watch those New Zealand fans and the New Zealand team. I mean, you're like, oh,
Yay.
yes. So I don't know if it's because we weren't as expecting as much from our team and think that they're doing really well, or as a country, we just have a different view. I don't know. I don't know if it comes down to expectations or not, because I know that the Brazilians, if the Brazilians, they expect a lot from their team as well. And if they get a draw, then the Brazilians are upset. They
Yes,
win.
they don't they shoot players?
I don't know if it comes down to attitude or if it comes down to expectations. I just know that it.
I was just gonna say, it seems that there are football fans like that, American football fans, not soccer, but like American football, that get that way.
Oh, that get upset if their team doesn't
And it
win.
doesn't win. Yeah. So,
It could be. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe it's
yeah, I don't know.
expectations. I just find it interesting that even though America and England right now have the same results, although America has a little bit better goal difference, but still pretty much the same results.
You're talking like you know about the
Watching it for, what are we on, 2 weeks? We
game.
sit
That's
watching
so funny.
we
You're
sit
using terminology.
We got ESPN a week and a half ago. I say ESPN, it's not cable. We got ESPN. We tuned it to some other channels, but really, cable's crap. So we have been watching ESPN for a week and a half. And so, yeah,
That's too funny. What'd you say? Goal spread?
goal difference. It's
Yeah, goal difference.
yeah, if the two teams trying to get out of the group have the same points. You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and 0 points for a loss. And you have 3 games. So if two teams say they both have the same points, like right now, since England and the US both have but they've everybody's done 2 games right now in their group. They had a draw on both their games. They both have 2 points. And say it's time to decide, okay, who's going to go to the next, they call it the round of 16. Who's going to go to the round of 16? And if they have the same points, then you just go by goal difference, who made the most goals. And that's who gets through. So
Interesting.
that's what a goal
And
difference
it's so different than, I guess it's more like the World Series than the football one. What's the
is. The playoffs?
Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I guess it's more like the World Series where they play a number of games to get to the final game to see who's the best baseball team.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know much. See, I don't know anything about baseball, so I don't know how the World Series works.
Yeah, I don't know anything about how the points are scored or anything. I just know they play multiple games.
Right. Yes.
In that series, whereas when you get to the Super Bowl, it's just one event. You know, they've played all their games throughout the season, and then it's the
Right.
one event. So.
Well, they have it's just they do multiple games just during the group phase, and they call it the knockout round after that because one game and you're out. So it's just multiple games only for while they're in the for the, where they are now doing the group games. So, but anyways, my favorite part, and I'll be honest, my favorite part of the Super Bowl, probably the Super Bowl too, but my favorite part of the World Cup is the fans. I just love the fans. When the World Cup took place in Japan and South Korea, and it was in 2002, my favorite fans during that World Cup were the Japanese and the Irish were in that one, and the Irish, because they were so passionate.
Aww.
The Irish went out. I can't remember who put them out, but the Irish went out and the fans cried. People were crying. They all had their green and white
Aww.
on. I know, and I was like, oh. And that's what makes the New Zealand fun, the game so much fun, that this time around is the fans just go crazy. They're just so,
Yeah.
and the team goes crazy. But yeah, it's the fans. The fans are my favorite part. And I told Matt, because they show too much of the game. Like, why don't they show the fans? Because the fans are, they, you know, they're all painted. They got all these crazy outfits on. And I wish they'd show more shots of the fans in the stands.
Well, the soccer guys are very attractive. Like, they got nice bodies.
They are fit.
Yeah, their
Fit.
legs are
Fit.
nice.
Fit. Yes. But you think that's their job, you know?
Yeah.
I always hear that about actresses that are so beautiful. And I said, well, that's their job. They won't land a role unless they take care of their beauty. And it's the same with the soccer guys. You know, they work out how many hours a day?
They're like a work of art.
They are very beautiful. They are very beautiful. Because at the end, they take their shirts off and they trade shirts with the other team.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah, you get to, and you're like, oh my God. Because they're not like football players, because American football players, because the American football players are just built different. They choose a different body
Yeah.
type for that.
They're usually bigger and stockier.
Right. The soccer players are, they're a little bit,
Probably.
they're leaner, but they're still really built.
So they're probably more like swimmers, huh?
Swimmers have a very V shape, I find.
Yeah, I like them.
They have their really huge shoulders and but then they come.
These things, whatever those muscles are under
Yeah,
there.
the yeah, and then it tapers down.
Yeah, nice.
So
The
now
soccer players have more of the lower body strength,
they
I
do.
guess.
Well, they no, I to me they yeah they do have they have legs like tree trunks, but.
Yeah, they do.
But they still have their upper bodies. It's not like they're, you know what I mean? It's kind of interesting when you talk about the different, because the basketball players are really tall, and
Yeah.
the long distance runners tend to be very thin. And
Yes.
you know, they're all, depending on the sport you're doing, a different body type favors a different sport, you know?
Well, you know, I was watching a little bit of the game, and I was thinking, I wonder, you know how you do things because you really like it? I wonder if they like doing what they do when you get to that level, or if it's just like a high stress, the joy's gone. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't tell you. I think some enjoy it and some are just stressed out. They
Yeah.
were, they've been, because we were watching the ESPN guys, and there's always the redhead named Alexi somebody. He's very, I like him a lot. And then there's a presenter. They have two presenters. I can't remember their names. So Alexi somebody, I can't remember his last name. He is a past American footballer. And then there's the presenter, and then they always have a guest footballer. And when they were doing the German, what was it? Who were they playing? Was it German and Australia? Yeah, it was a German Australia game where German beat Australia 4-0. Poor Australians. They got stomped by the
Creams,
Germans.
yeah.
Yes. Not the worst though. The North Koreans. Who put the North Koreans were 7-0. But anyways, and during that one there. Their guest footballer was Jürgen somebody, a very famous. See, this is how I don't know. If Matt was here to go, it's Jürgen so and so. Are you crazy? Only the most famous German footballer ever.
Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't know that.
I'm going, oh, Jürgen somebody.
Bye.
But he was constantly talking about, because they were asking him about the game, and and he was saying, he was talking about the enjoying the sport. And he was saying that you could tell that the Germans were really enjoying their game. So I think that some do enjoy the game and some are just super stressed out.
Okay, I was just wondering because when I was watching them, none of them looked happy. And it just is like, I wonder, do they even like doing this anymore?
Well,
Yeah.
Jürgen apparently. I'm sorry, I'm calling you Jürgen. Jürgen, I don't know your last name. he apparently he enjoyed the sport very much, because he was saying that you play your best when you enjoy the game. And he said that several times.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that some of them still do enjoy it. Yeah. Okay, back to health. Back to health. Hey, can we pause for 1 second?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
And we're recording again.
Okay, yay.
Okay, back to health.
Back to health. Now that we've done our soccer tribute.
Well, it is the World Cup right now. Of course, by the time this gets out, the World Cup might be over. Who knows?
Probably. So anyways, health.
Well, I just wanted to, the reason I was bringing it up is because it's become a debilitating issue in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's become a debilitating issue in a lot of people's lives.
Okay.
Health and the two modern things that I see are a problem for Americans are health and debt.
Okay. Well, yeah, those are big, huge.
And I think it's common. You know, if you 4 out of 5 people are dealing with these issues, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I find with health, if you're in bad health, it just makes everything difficult. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just makes it difficult doing the dishes because you don't feel good.
Yeah. Steve's son has bad allergies, and he's constantly tired. You know, he's just kind of half there all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and he's rubbing his eyes and he falls asleep a lot. So.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult to achieve anything, I find.
Yeah, 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 completely. I agree.
And about a year, maybe 2 years ago, it's been a while now, when I still do this. You know, you make your goals, whether I achieve them or not, whatever. You know, but I make my goals and you work towards them. And about 2 years ago, I realized, because I'd have other goals on top, like write a book or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I realized that I never had the energy to achieve these goals. I would fall asleep. And that's why about a year or 2 years ago, my number one goal has become health.
And yeah.
Because I discovered that it was the foundation for everything else.
Yeah.
And so even though I want to do these other things, sewing and writing and, you know, whatever else, health has to come first, because otherwise you just don't have the energy to do anything.
No. No, no, you don't. I've always been tired, and it turns out to be allergies.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. No, it's not fun either, because everybody around you is doing really cool stuff and you're sleepy.
It's so, I know, and you feel like a loser.
You do.
You know, people come to you and say, oh yeah, we went to SeaWorld this weekend, and you're like, oh, I let my kids play video games so I could sleep, you know? And you just feel like a monster loser.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's one of the things that's been nice is Steve's very high energy. So he's gotten me out and about when I've been tired. And then once I get into something, then I'm fine. Mm-hmm. As long as it's physically active, I'm okay. It's when it's like sitting and reading or something, that's when it all falls apart. But when I'm tired, I don't have the drive to get started in the first place.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Another thing I found is I did much better when I was working, because I wasn't at the house all the time.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't do well like here when I have to study here.
Right.
I don't do well. I need to like have to leave the house and come back, you know?
See, yeah, my house has become a cave, and I don't know how to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not yep. sure. Because as a housewife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to where you're in the habit of never leaving the house.
Yes, and it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get out more, you know, just see things and do things and make myself leave the apartment.
Where do you go? Do you try to go study somewhere else or?
No, it's hard for me to do that because I have like 10 papers scattered around that I'm using and 2 books and the computer. But I just try to take breaks and go off and do things.
Uh-huh.
You know, so at least take a walk.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so difficult, isn't it? It's so difficult mm-hmm. to change your habits and change yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's what I've been struggling with for... well, our health, both Matt and I, our health started declining when we got together.
It happens too.
It does. It does.
People tend to gain weight and.
That's exactly what happened. In about 2 years, we both put on 50 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. after getting together, because you're just with each other and enjoying each other and enjoying food and you
Yeah.
know and the world outside just kind of disappears because you're so in love.
It's
And then
just the two of you.
yes, and the next thing you know, you've gained 50 pounds, you know.
Yeah, they're like, what happened? Oh my God.
And then on top of that, we had babies. So, and then I also found out because I was pregnant or nursing. Actually, I was pregnant and nursing for a little while. For 5.5 years, I was pregnant or nursing, and then last year, I weaned the second child. And so for a year, I have been. I didn't realize that I had such a free for all with food. I always used to joke about it, you know. But yeah, sure enough, as I weaned that second baby, and damn, food playtime is over. My weight has been going, trying to go up, because I don't know about you, but I hit certain plateaus in my life. Like, I was for me, a healthy weight is 145. That's my healthy weight. So I was 145 through my 20s, and then 28 is when my metabolism slowed down. But I didn't hit my next plateau till it was about when Matt and I gained that weight, and that my plat that new plateau was about 180. And that's where I was while I had the babies and I was nursing, and I was at 180 for 6 years. And then I weaned that second baby, and my body is trying so hard, eating the way I am now, which is unhealthy, is trying to go to its next plateau, but I don't want to know where that is. I'll put on 15 pounds, like, oh shit, and I'll look up and manage to get back down to 180, and then my body will start gaining again. I'm like, oh man, and then I'll get myself back. I don't want to know where I'm going to plateau next. I don't want to know.
Well, you said that when you were doing more of the raw food, you lost 2 dress sizes.
Yeah, the raw foods, but people will tell you that the raw foods, you lose weight very fast. But I've also discovered, talking about health and food, this is a good subject, that I find that a diet has to be, and I'm not talking about a diet like losing weight. I'm talking about just your
The way
eat.
you eat.
Yeah, the way you eat has to be enjoyable to be sustainable.
Yes, no, it totally does.
Yeah, and though there are certain foods that I enjoy in the raw diet, I didn't find the raw diet overall enjoyable and satisfying. So I'm trying to find a healthy, enjoyable, fun, because food is fun. Food is so much fun. I love food.
I think that's all our problem.
Well, I think you just have to find a fun way, a fun, healthy way of live, of eating. But that's kind of the trick, isn't it?
Yeah, and also not eating too much.
Yes.
Because like I said, when I was on Weight Watchers, I could have anything I wanted. It's just the amount, if I decided I wanted a candy bar, well, that's half my intake for the whole day. Do I
Right.
really want that candy bar? Is it worth it? That's what it started making me think.
Right.
Just because you have to, calories in, calories out.
Right. Weight Watchers is supposed to be one of the most successful of all of the diets out there.
I think it's what it one of the really positive things about it is it teaches you how to eat. So not only do they have this point system that helps you restrict your calories to what your body needs, but then as time passes, each week they give you a new thing about, like, okay, you need this much water a day. And so when you mark down your points, you also mark how much water you drink. And then you need vitamins. And then you need, so they start telling you what you need, what types of food you have to have each week to be healthy.
See,
So
that's
then
very
you start
cool.
incorporating that as your calories.
Right. I think it also helps people when they are, because food is so confusing in modern society, I think. It's very confusing. What I mean, what are you supposed to, I mean, remember when you weren't supposed to eat eggs, and now it's okay to eat eggs, but are you supposed to have whole milk? Are we not supposed to have whole milk? I don't understand. And you know what I mean? There's all these, you can have carbs. Oh, no carbs. Carbs are terrible. Oh, no, carbs are okay now.
Keep talking because I'm gonna grab something.
Okay.
It's this article that I got.
Well, I was just, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
Well, I just think that food is confusing for us because we are our food.
Bombarded with all kinds of information.
Yes, and our food chain has changed. All the food's changed, and it changes all the time. And
Well, there was this magazine, Discover,
oh, okay.
and I read this. I got this magazine because it had this really good article I really liked. I have my love-hate relationship with science. And this person wrote about how murky science has gotten and how poorly done a lot of science is. And I love this article. It was exactly what I thought about science, and which is where all these pieces of information come from. You eat eggs, don't eat eggs. It's all from experiments done. And they're using the analogy, which I've heard before, the streetlight effect.
I've not heard of that, so you'll have to explain that.
So it's kind of a joke. So this guy is drunk, and it's at nighttime, and he's under this lamp. And he's on his hands and knees, and this cop walks over to him and says, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I lost my car keys, and I'm looking for them." He goes, "Are you sure you lost them over here?" He goes, "No, I didn't lose them over here." And the cop was like, "Why are you looking over here?" And he's like, "Well, the best light's right here." And that's a lot of times have been applied to science, that they're looking in easy spots as opposed to where real answers might be. They're not doing the hard stuff because it's really, really hard. And what was it that in this one thing, it was great that there was a group of people that went through journals that had been over a period of time and found out that all the articles, when they reviewed all the articles together, that none of them had proved anything. 100%. I wish I could find that one section. So I think that's where all this
Confusion.
my friend said she read, because she's a biologist, and she read the study about the cholesterol in eggs, and she said they force-fed rabbits the eggs. Rabbits aren't humans. They have a completely different body. And how are they even, is there any evidence that they're a good model for humans, let alone, and rabbits don't eat eggs. That's not a natural food for them. So she's like, this is ridiculous. You know, how can you learn anything? So this is streetlight effect, you know. Well, it's easy to get rabbits and we'll just feed them the eggs, you know. And so I think that's where all this confusing information is, where we're over, you know, science is a really cool thing, and it's brought a lot of light to our material life, you know, our physical world. But I think it's become now just another institution. Instead of people that are really drawn to it, you get just people that are doing a job and pumping out papers and stuff. And so we're all overloaded with all this crazy information that even the people putting it out don't really know if it's any good or not.
Well, I think as the media kind of grabs hold of it, and you know, and it just it and then it gets disseminated to the public in piecemeal, and then we get confused. We're like, what?
And then
Are we supposed to eat carbs or not? I don't understand.
And then I think it comes back to, in the end, moderation and balance.
I think so too. Absolutely. And I've learned a lot since then is Whole Foods. I'm not talking about the grocery store, although we love the grocery store. But instead of getting the value-added processed food to start with, to get the ingredients. And that's another thing. I was telling my mom this because I made for the first time, because I'm so used to making things from packages. And we used to get the pancake packages and make pancakes from the pancake mix. And we were trying to get away from preservatives and sugar. And so I said, well, okay, we'll just make pancakes from scratch. And so this is about 3 years ago, I made my first pancakes from scratch. Well, it's so easy. I told mom the pancake mixes are a scam. They're such a scam. Because all that it is they've all they've done is taken the flour, the rising agent, whatever you use, baking soda or baking powder, whatever, and the sugar and your spices, and they've mixed them together. They've used the cheapest ingredients. They've added a lot of sugar because they know that sugar sells, and they've had to put preservatives in it so it has a shelf life. But that's all they've done. And you can mix the flour and the rising agent and the spices. You can mix that yourself, and it takes 2 minutes. What? I couldn't believe it when I made pancakes from scratch. It's like, oh my gosh, it's a scam.
Well, that's how a lot of people make it. What was it, the pet rock?
Yes.
I mean, I can go outside and get a rock.
Well, when I told my mom that story, she said cake mixes are exactly the same. And she said you can always tell. Like she said when she eats a cake, she can tell a cake made from a cake mix. It's compared.
Really?
Yes, and I think it's because they add, first of all, cheap ingredients. And the second of all, it's they put preservatives in it, which are chemicals. They put preservatives, and they also have to put like so it doesn't clump together, an anticoagulant. I don't know what they put in it, something
Yeah,
not clump together.
stuff that has long shelf life.
Right. And so you've got that crap in there.
Yeah.
Talking about headaches, so I was having problems already with my headache, and then for Father's Day, they had this. It's the World Cup. They had it at HEB and the HEB Bakery. They had this beautiful Father's Day cake that was a soccer ball, so, and it was decorated like a soccer ball. And said number one dad, so we got it, and it was awful. And you ate the icing, you could taste the chemicals in the icing. It was the dye. And sure enough, I had a blinding headache that night from the dye, from the chemical dye.
Wow, that's amazing.
The chemical dye
See,
in the
now
icing.
I can't, I'm not that sensitive to the chemicals, so I can't tell. But I usually don't like stuff like that anyways. Cakes in general. Like I have a little bit and I like them. So maybe I'm not as sensitive. You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm not as sensitive to the whole sugar stuff, the sweet world.
Right. Well,
Because I don't eat much of it, so I don't know.
that's a completely different, that's still a health topic, I think, too. We were talking
Yes.
about this before, our whatever it is that our body, and you brought it up, is it genetic or is it environmental or is it both? We were talking
Right.
about our two families, and my family has a problem with sugar. We have people that are overweight, we have lots of type 2 diabetes. We have all the problems that come from eating too much processed sugar. And I was saying that that to me, and I feel that is just as unhealthy as cigarette smoking or alcohol. And you're saying that your family, y'all's problem is alcohol. Y'all have to watch out for alcohol for whatever reason. That's the one that is y'all are tempted by. And you have that comes down to willpower, doesn't it? And keeping contracts with yourself, which is very difficult to do.
I mean, it's so easy to blow yourself off,
Yeah, it is.
you know,
Or
no matter what it is, 'cause exercise is willpower as well.
it is. It is. Yep.
And being respectful to yourself. And that's it's not it it's so hard. People just don't do it.
It is very hard. It is, and it's whatever it's tempting. Like you said, you're not tempted by cake, but like yesterday, because I have a problem with sugar, I had a donut and I had a. This is just in one day, and this every day will be like this. I had a donut and I had a Klondike bar, and every day I'll have something like that. I'll have not just one, but two or three or four sugars in a day. Whatever,
Sugar treats.
sugar treats, and it's really hard to say no to that donut and that Klondike bar. And then on top of that, you start getting cravings. Then you get all that, you get that mental debate going on where you're trying to talk yourself like, no, I really don't want it. No, just, well, after this one, we'll quit.
See, I was happy when those voices were gone.
Oh, did you, your voices were gone for a little while?
Yeah, remember we talked about it? And it's like when there was a time in my life when my voices were gone. And it was so peaceful and so happy.
Funny. But don't know why they went away or why they came back, do you?
No, I don't. I think they came back because I get a lot of stress in my life. I went and put myself in a situation that maybe I wasn't ready for. You know, like I went away to school,
Right.
and maybe I just wasn't ready for that. But whatever it was stressful. Stressful. And all the voices came back. We're back.
I like my little voices, except for that, you know, the one where you're like, oh, no, that donut will be okay. Just one donut's not going to hurt you.
Oh, I, you know, this might segue into spirituality, but having read some of I don't know what you called Bible and the Quran and the Upanishads, I think they're called for Hinduism and whatever you call those.
Spiritual texts.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good term for them. Having read some of those in my seminary training, it's very interesting how Western and Eastern is so different. You know, the Western seems to be very external, whereas Eastern tends to be very internal. Meaning, and this is just my opinion, this is what I saw, is Western tends to have this like an external savior, an external force, an external. So you're always looking outside for help, and you're always looking outside of yourself for the answers. Whereas in the Eastern, a lot of times, at least from the texts themselves, maybe not the culture that adopts it, but the text, it was a lot of find stuff inside of you.
That is very cool.
And it fits our cultures though. Like in the Western world, you're always fighting with yourself instead of trying to grow. And you know, like we're looking for a pill
Right.
because I just keep gaining weight, so I need some kind of external thing to make me behave.
Right.
You know, whereas I think the best way to get somewhere is to examine yourself internally and try to come to peace with who you are and to try to get over those issues as opposed to constantly fighting yourself and trying to find some external source that will win the day.
Right.
You know, a diet pill or if you're, you know, depressed, you know, just always trying to find that external savior.
Well, do you feel like you've come to peace with yourself?
I think I'm a lot better, but I'm not. I don't think you ever are 100%. But I think that's a huge part of it is accepting that you're always going to have to constantly re-examine. You know, just because you go to the gym and get into shape doesn't mean you'll always be in shape if you don't continually work out. And I think it's the same thing internally. If you're not constantly doing these things to help you be emotionally in shape and spiritually in shape, then you're going to fall apart internally. So, like, I don't know. Go on.
Say you're our wise guru,
No.
Shaori. I bring up the questions. Hey, Shaori, I'm having trouble. What do you think?
And I think that's the whole thing is like, you can't, nobody else can do this for you. It has to be you.
But it's difficult. It's
Oh,
difficult.
it's hard.
It's difficult. Yeah, it's very, very difficult. I don't even know how you. Okay, so there's two things going on here. I see. Okay, so we're talking about accepting yourself for who you are. Coming, finding peace. And on the other hand, having the willpower to change.
I think, okay, like an analogy to physical. Coming to peace with the fact that you may never have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you still have the willpower to go to the gym and work out, to get your best body, and to do with what you can with yourself. You know, okay, you like sugar a lot and you accept that. We still have. See, I don't like the word willpower.
What would you call it? What would you say?
Because I to me, it's like an internal journey to maybe change what you like to eat, or you know, working with yourself to get to a better place, as to opposed to fighting yourself and willpower over yourself. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just, I feel like constant conflict, you're never going to get anywhere.
Right.
If you always stay in the same spot, you're always going to be right there.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this has been a lifelong battle with me personally. I mean, I don't know what you've had your lifelong battles with, but for me, I've had in my 20s, even though I ate a bunch of sugar, now I was healthy. Now in the last, since I'd say my early 30s, so about a decade now, I've been unhealthy. And the sugar was not so much, didn't play such a large role in it before, because when I was young and you can metabolize it.
Right. And you can bounce back from a lot of things when you're young.
And also I was very physically active when I was.
Wait, just on a tangent. You got to think back to when we were arrogant when we were young. I can't believe, you know, like looking at older people going, well, all you have to do is, you know, run a little bit.
Yeah.
Now all you have to be is 20.
And that still annoys me about people when they say, oh, you know, I don't understand why you can't lose weight. And I'm like, you're not me. You know, step into my situation, my personality, and my genetics, you know, my history.
But we were so arrogant, too, when we were young.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I try not to judge people. It gets me into trouble, though. I try not to judge people because I don't have their life, you know?
No. I don't know what they're going through or how it is for them.
Not at all. Okay, I completely lost where we were going.
You were talking about sugar.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so the sugar, I was able to metabolize it, and I was also a lot more physically active. But I still ate sugar as badly as I do now. And so it's been this lifelong battle that I have never been able to find a solution for, whether it's willpower or it's trying to find some sort of change that flows more with, you know, instead of a battle.
Right.
So I still don't have an answer for it. I still don't, you know. I said, I don't know if you have anything like that that's been a struggle.
Sure, I have different things, and I think there'll always be things in my life that will be not easy, like it is for other people. But it's just who I am, and I realize maybe I mentioned this before. There's that saying where the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect something different to happen.
Yes.
And I think that's it. Like, I'm always pursuing a different, this is something I never would have done when I was young, but now I'm very open to pursuing different avenues to change my life instead of doing the same thing over and over again, you know, like going to the refrigerator, opening it. Oh, there's nothing to eat. Going back 10 minutes later, like something different's going to be there. Wow. Why is the same food in here 10 minutes later? So I'm trying to, you know, I've opened my mind. See, there's that whole growth thing. I've opened my mind to explore other avenues. Whereas when I was young, I was very close-minded. And I couldn't accept help. I couldn't, you know, some things were stupid and I would never do that. But now I'm much more open to other possibilities. So therefore I have more tools at my disposal. So am I 100% successful? No, but I'm better. So. Aw, you look so
Oh,
sad.
no, I just don't have an answer for that. I just don't.
It's a very personal journey for everyone.
Yeah. And it's a very frustrating journey for me right now. And I'm not quite sure, where. You're right. I think it just takes a lot of internal reflection to figure out what you're going to do or how you're going to proceed. Or, I just know that I'm tired of being unhealthy. I'm very, like I said, I've been unhealthy for a decade now, and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Time to move on.
Yes, I want to be healthy, but I think it comes down to having the discipline to do it. To like you said, when you go to eat. And you look at the menu and there's nothing for there for you to eat, you just go hungry until you can get
No,
something.
sometimes I'll eat French fries or whatever, and then I get even more angry. Really.
I believe it. French fries on an empty stomach, I believe it.
I get so angry that I'm forced to eat this because I'm starving. That's it, I'm going next door. I'll be back with some food.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll revisit I keep thinking Matt's gonna wake up. We'll revisit this topic on as an ongoing journey. Although I don't know where you are on yours because you said you're trying to get more back into your physical activity, but you have your studying as well, your school.
Well, I'm on my last year of school, so I'm happy about that.
Really?
Yay!
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That scared me. Hey, baby. My babies are waking up.
I see that. So I guess it's about time to wrap up, huh?
Yes.
Hey,
Well, I wanted to end with one of my favorite quotes. You say hi.
Lily.
It's by Abraham Lincoln. I think I might have told you this quote before because it's absolutely one of my favorite. Hang on, baby.
I feel so messed up.
I know, honey. My kids are getting sick.
Aww.
Yeah, we're all just not feeling good here. And it's I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to what light I have.
Nice.
I know, one of my favorite quotes.
Very nice.
Okay, well, I think we should revisit this topic
Okay.
in a few months.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, and to see what's the right word? To see how, what it took to finally get myself healthy and have,
Right.
and I don't know, I don't see, I don't know, I know what I feel about this. I'm trying to be healthy and it's taken a lot of discipline. But I don't know about you. What about you and your health goals?
Well, I'm just starting back, and it seems to me to be harder the second time around. I don't know why, but it just seems to be harder to get back to where I was. But I'm not giving up.
I
I
mean,
believe it's possible.
it's harder in that it's taking more time. You're having to put in more effort to get to the same to get the same results.
Yeah, for some reason the motivation level hasn't been there. So I'm trying to get back, find where my motivation lies. It's like a treasure hunt. Where is it? I know it's around here somewhere. So I just have to find it and it'll come back. But right now I feel like I'm going in spurts. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think mine just comes down to discipline. I think that's all mine comes down to. You're very good at keeping contracts with yourself, and however, I not so much.
My
So,
shadow hunts me.
baby, there's only one that works on here. Okay, well, want me to go ahead and say goodbye, and then I'm gonna let if you don't mind, she wants to talk to you. So can she say hi? Okay, but we'll go ahead and wrap up our podcast though, and say,
Okay, so this is Shelry.
and this is Angel. So,
Bye, guys.
bye bye. Okay, hang on, baby.
Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shelry.
And I'm Angel.
And we bid you adieu.
Sayonara.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
And farewell. Until next time.